50 this month. Among them, the only functioning pediatric hospital because of Israel's latest ground offensive there. MSF says its staff could no longer work safely or guarantee even basic treatment for patients with burns, trauma wounds, or newborns in critical care. The organization is urgently calling for guarantees of safe access for humanitarian workers. Anas Babo, NPR News, Gaza City.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is expected to meet with President Trump at the White House on Monday. Stocks lost ground this week despite some positive economic data. NPR Scott Horsley reports that all of the major stock indexes ended the week in the red.
Consumer spending is the biggest driver of the U.S. economy, and consumers have not stopped spending yet. A report from the Commerce Department shows personal spending jumped more than 0.5% in August. Revised figures show spending in April, May, and June was also stronger than initially reported. Spending on housing is still in a slump, though. Sales of existing homes fell in August, even as sales of new homes jumped. Mortgage rates inched up this week to an average of 6.3% on a 30-year loan. For the week, the Dow slipped 0.1%, the S&P 500 index fell 0.3%, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ dropped 0.2%. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
And you're listening to NPR News.
From the KPR Newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre. Good morning. The Kansas Supreme Court has upheld the state's broad protections for workers who claim religious exemptions to vaccines. Zane Irwin explains yesterday's ruling.
The ruling makes it easier for Kansas job applicants to refuse workplace vaccine requirements. The case started in 2022, when a Leawood woman was denied an occupational therapy job. The employer said she did not qualify for a religious exemption due to its COVID-19 vaccination requirement. A Johnson County District Court judge agreed with the employer, but the Kansas Supreme Court overturned that decision, ruling that employers may not ask follow-up questions when applicants say they religiously oppose vaccination. Justices Melissa Standridge and Eric Rosen dissented. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
A woman has been sentenced to more than 24 years in prison for murdering her husband at the Fort Riley Army Base. WIBW reports that 31-year-old Margaret Schaaf was found guilty of second-degree murder for killing Greg Schaaf in February 2024 at their home. The U.S. Attorney's Office issued a press release yesterday saying that Schaaf's daughters were in the home at the time of the shooting and witnessed the shooting. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Division, and the Fort Riley Fire and Emergency Services assisted in investigating the case. The Kansas City Royals lost to the Athletics yesterday 4-3. They played their second in the series in West Sacramento at 9:05 tonight. We'll have a look at the forecast coming up after this.
NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is NPR.
Mostly sunny skies today with highs in the upper 80s. Light winds from the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies overnight tonight, lows in the upper 50s. And for tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid 80s. It's 64 in Lawrence. From the KPR Newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre.
What do people really mean? In the bit we read, now, Mal doesn't always respond very loquaciously to Arthur when he's chatting about the chap who's pulled out of the river. And maybe there's a reason for that. Or maybe there isn't.
Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. As a working, highly successful novelist, do you have any concerns about readers of the future just subsisting on text messages and social media posts? And, you know, what we now call literature disappearing?
Well, that's very interesting. Will literature ever disappear? And what is literature in these days? And where is it going? Now, I don't think books are going anywhere, you know, anytime soon. But looking further to the future, who on earth knows? Because we're already getting very, very short formats of communication in our everyday lives. I'm reliably told by young people that nobody emails much anymore. I wrote my first novel, The Appeal, in almost all emails. And that was a piece of feedback I got from my younger readers. Everybody texts now. Emails are for old people. And whereas maybe 40 years ago, we'd have been bemoaning the decline of letter writing, we're now bemoaning the decline of emails. But for the moment, I don't think books or literature are going anywhere. But I think literature might change and more books might be written in the way that I'm writing them now.
The Killer Question, the new novel by Janice Hallett. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's been delightful speaking to you.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Olsburg, Junction City. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. Good morning. I'm Kay McIntyre. I'm here with Laura Lorson and Matthew Algio. And it occurred to me as they were talking about, you know, no one sends emails anymore. No one calls anymore. No one uses the phone anymore. Well, you can. You can always pledge at 888-577-5268. Or if you're way more tech savvy, you can use the KPR app or pledge at kansaspublicradio.org.
Thank you, Kay. It's great to be with you this morning. I'm Matthew Algio, as Kay mentioned. I'm joined by Laura Lorson.
Hello.
And we are here just taking a few minutes, also, as Kay mentioned, to ask you to make a pledge at kansaspublicradio.org or at 888-577-5268. What is literature is a question that we just heard discussed on Weekend Edition Saturday. That
I really enjoyed listening to KPR Presents just to find out about the interesting little interstices of our community. Thanks to Amber Nickel for coming in and keeping track of all the numbers that we have to deal with. Thank you, Matthew Algio, for being here. Thank you for listening. First and foremost, coming up next on your KPR1 stations, we have Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You can make your pledge right now at 888-577-5268 or at kansaspublicradio.org. Thank you so much for being a KPR listener. We'd love to have you as a member at kansaspublicradio.org. Have a good day.
Thank you, Laura Lorson and Matthew Algio, for joining us this morning. I'm going to keep you both on mic for a second. You've been talking about local authors, and I just want to give a shout out to one particular local author. Matthew Algio is himself a local author, and he's just written a great new book called New York's Secret Subway. And he's just by no small coincidence going to be on KPR Presents this weekend. So tune in tomorrow to hear Matthew Algio talking about how in the world a spunky inventor in New York City built a secret subway right under the feet of New Yorkers in secret. So that'll be on KPR Presents tomorrow at 6 p.m. on KPR1. Again, Matthew and Laura, thank you so much for joining us this morning. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH, and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio, or of course you can listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. And while you're there, make a pledge in support of programs like Weekend Edition Saturday and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me coming up here on Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter, with locations in Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia, providing compassionate care for animals in need, including spay and neuter programs to help reduce pet overpopulation. Details at prairiepaws.org.
We have a beautiful Saturday, a beautiful weekend ahead of us. Sunny skies today with highs getting up to the upper 80s, light winds from the southwest. Clear skies tonight with lows in the upper 50s. Looking for tomorrow, sunny skies again, highs in the mid 80s. It's 70 degrees in Atchison, 68 in Emporia, 69 here in Lawrence, 69 in Topeka. This is KPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. When you invest in this voice, you're going to want to buy and hold. I'm Bill Curtis, and here's your host at the Studebaker Theater in the Fine Arts Building in downtown Chicago, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Oh, thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. And guys, I understand. I am just as excited as you are, because for a lot of us, fundraising season is just like Christmas, except this is when Santa stops by and asks us to give him a gift.
That Santa, he's such a scamp.
But public radio is not like Santa. We bring you presents all year, and then once in a while, we ask you for your support. And this year, it is more important than ever.
Because the tariffs have doubled the price of the European spring water I demand in my dressing room.
Yes, yes. And because the government ended all federal support for public broadcasting. So your support, I know. Well, all that means is your support is extra important. And we hope that means our best material sounds twice as good. Why don't we find out?
Here's something we think is worth your hard-earned cash. An interview with Nobel laureate Malala Yousafzai from 2023, when guest host Josh Gundelman asked her about an even bigger honor, an Oscar nomination.
And now, the part of our show where we ask someone brilliant to play a game that is way, way beneath their dignity. And that has never been more true than it is right now. Today's guest won a Nobel Peace Prize at age 17. She's now an executive producer of an Academy Award-nominated documentary short film. Please welcome to the show, Malala Yousafzai. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty nervous, if I'm honest. I'm not ready for the questions, but, I'm here.
I'm as stunned as you are that you're here. Malala, you won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2014 when you were just 17 years old. Let's start there. Can you tell us about when you found out that you won?
Actually, I was still in school at that time. So I went to school. I was in my chemistry class that the school's deputy head teacher called me outside. She usually calls you when you are in trouble. So I was like, fingers crossed, I hope I haven't done anything wrong. But then she told me I had won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Classic bait and switch, yeah. We've all been there. How did you react when you went from thinking you were in trouble to knowing that you'd won the Nobel Peace Prize, which is what they call, where I'm from, a 180?
It was, such a surreal moment because it was not just for me, but it was for all the children who deserve to be heard. It was raising awareness about child labor. You know, I heard the news and then I shared a few remarks with my school friends. And then after that, I went back to my class. I went to my physics class. I said, I have to finish my school day, because when you get the Nobel Peace Prize for education, you have to finish your school day.
Wow. So you have a Peace Prize, which comes, I imagine, with certain expectations, right? When are you the least peaceful? Is it at the airport? Do you scream at the screen when you're watching cricket on TV?
I'm not a big fan of gym, running, walking, so... to stand up, I'm like, oh, I need some peace. I need to sit and I need to relax. Whatever I am.
So whenever you're standing upright, you fly into a rage.
You can just stand up for education. Other than that.
You heard it here first. Malala prefers to do her standing up while sitting down. That's amazing. And do people come to you to, mediate their arguments? Do people expect you, people in your life expect you to be, level-headed at all times? Or is that out the window?
Whenever people meet me, they're just so nice to me. And sometimes, they're very shocked to see me, being so short. Because, in real life, I'm very short. But on screen, you can't tell that. Mm-hmm. So when they see me, and they're like, oh, wait a second, like, is that really you, like, this small? I'm like, well, like, I'm 5 foot, that's it. So.
Where do you keep your Nobel Prize?
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you that.
No, do you mean that that's a secret, or that you've won so many awards you forget where you keep them and can't tell Mo?
I think it's probably both, but okay.
And so now, let's say your Nobel Prize came with free concert tickets, but you had to choose between Beyonce and Taylor Swift. Who do you pick?
These are really tough questions.
Sorry.
It could start a war.
So when I was little, I used to like sing the Love Story song together with my friends. So that was like one of the first few songs we started singing back in Pakistan. And Beyonce, I mean, she's a legend. So I would want both tickets. I have the Nobel Peace Prize and I demand it.
Yeah, incredible answer. So you're here now because you have a production company. You work in television and film. The documentary short, Stranger at the Gate, which is incredibly moving, has been nominated for an Academy Award. How do you balance activism and working in this kind of production?
I'm lucky that I finished my university 2 years ago, so I do have more time to do more for the mission that I have taken in my life, which is empowering young women and girls from different backgrounds to get the opportunity to share with us how they see the world. And I started the production company because I believe that we need to help women and young people to get the chance to reflect the world as they see it. And I'm hoping that I would be able to produce content, including comedies, documentaries, and TV series, everything. So I hope that people will watch it. And I'm so lucky to be part of Stranger at the Gate, which is a short documentary that has been nominated for Oscars now.
Incredible. Congratulations. Thank you. So you're going to the Oscars next week, is that correct?
Yes, I will be. I am so nervous. I was at the Oscars luncheon and I like already met some of the celebrities, which was already like overwhelming.
Who did you meet?
Tom Cruise. Yeah, Tom Cruise and Michelle Yeoh and Ki-hae Kwan and Austin Butler and his deep voice. I heard that. That's real. That's real.
Who's taller, you or Tom Cruise?
Okay, if I wear my 4-inch high heels, then ooh, I might be taller than him.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm a big fan. I don't want to create enemies. I'm going to the Oscars.
And have you won a Grammy as well? Is that correct?
No, not yet.
Okay. Wow. Not yet. That's that Malala confidence that we all know and love.
And once she does win that Grammy, she's doing the Super Bowl halftime show.
So plenty of people. Okay, so you said you haven't won it yet. Plenty of people go for the EGOT, right? Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Are you going for the EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Nobel Prize, Tony?
I mean, time will tell.
Malala Yousafzai, thank you so much.
So this week we're asking for your support because without it, no joke, we might not be here anymore. And it is time to seriously consider what that would be like. For example, without public radio, those fabulous celebrity dinner parties you hear about, they just wouldn't be the same.
Thank you for joining me at my large yet tasteful house.
Oh, Cynthia Nixon, thank you for having us.
Well put, beloved newswoman Rachel Maddow.
Thank you, Paul Giamatti. You were great in Big Fat Liar.
That was very big in the Winkler household.
I've made us a wonderful chickpea-centric meal.
I heard an interesting piece on NPR once about how the chickpea craze took over America.
Ever since my local station turned into UFC SmackDown, I have no more facts to share.
Me too. My local station was sold to a company that just makes call-in shows where you complain about how much your wife sucks.
I used to love doing errands and listening to NPR. I'd always learn something new.
Even when they were playing that annoying show with jokes.
No, that show sucks.
Without NPR, this dinner party sucks.
So make sure that Cynthia Nixon still has something interesting to say to Paul Giamatti. Here's how to help.
There are so many ways that you as a listener can help keep great shows like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on the air. Good morning. My name is Felony Slavata Winston. I'm the general manager here at Kansas Public Radio, and I'm joined by a couple of other Kansas Public Radio and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me fans. And we are imploring listeners like you to support Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on KPR. We know that Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, a splendid show, costs about $567 per week, which I think is an achievable goal to help pay for a week's worth of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, especially when you think about everything that you get when you listen to the program. It's a wonderful way to catch up with the week's news. You laugh and have a good time. There's a great Kansas connection. Scorekeeper Bill Curtis is actually a member of our advisory board and a native Kansan. So you get so much out of listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and you can help keep it on the air by pledging your support today. You can do that by visiting kansaspublicradio.org. And I'm joined this morning by John Richard Schrock, who's been associated with the station for quite some time. He's also on our advisory board. He's a regular commentator and a professor emeritus of biology at Emporia State University. And yeah, thank you so much for being with us this morning, Richard. It's great to have you.
It is an honor to be here, and especially because the listeners out here are all listening to something that is political and humorous at this time, and that means that they have been students of one time of professors and teachers who taught them about civics and about government and about humor, I hope, as well as in listening to Kansas Public Radio, you may also be listening to music and other things as well. And this is an important factor for both university students, professors, and all of us that have been in the past students, because we're continuing our learning on Kansas Public Radio. It's very important to not only have studied to make a living, but also to have a life when you come home from making a living. And that is what this does. When you support public radio, you are supporting a continuing education. And that is why it's so important to teachers, students, and we're all students in this case. That means that you can call 888-577-5268 or go online to kansaspublicradio.org and be able to contribute to the challenge today from Steve and Fran Crouch for matching gifts. This is important for all of us.
Thanks so much for supporting Kansas Public Radio. And as you're a fan of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, this is the perfect time to show some extra support for this show. Maybe you're already a sustaining member. Well, you can make an additional gift. We have that cost of $567 a week. Sounds like a pledge amount to me.
Mm-hmm.
I realize not everyone can part with that much money, but it's going to a good cause, because when you do that, it's a show that everyone can listen to. So many people listen to this. It's one of our most popular shows. And remember, Steve and Fran Crouch will match your gifts of any size up to $1,000. So anything you give, well, it's doubled to us here at KPR. And also, Felonies, isn't there a book? Tell us about the Bill Curtis book.
Well, if you pledge $20 per month or more, or $240 per year, you will receive a hardcover copy of Bill Curtis's new book, Whirlwind, My Life Reporting in the News. So that's another thing that you could potentially get from listening to Kansas Public Radio this morning and also pledging your support. And you can do that, $20 per month, if it works for you, by visiting kansaspublicradio.org. You can also call 888-577-5268 and pledge that way. Thank you so much.
You can give any amount, but it starts with coming to the website, kansaspublicradio.org, or calling 888-577-5268. Let's go back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me with Bill Curtis here on KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and here again is your host at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. So, yes, it is exciting to be asking for money. Letting go of your shame is freeing. This week we were asking for your help because with the loss of federal funding for all of public broadcasting, we need you all more than we ever did. So we're playing some of our greatest hits in the hope that you'll realize why it is good that we stick around.
People don't turn to public radio for sports coverage, but if they did, they'd hear important stories like this one from a Bluff the Listener game this last summer.
Hi, this is Serenity, and I'm calling from Arlington, Virginia.
Hey, Serenity, what do you do there in Arlington?
So right now I'm actually working at Salon Monty, and that is a salon from Monty Durham from Say Yes to the Dress.
Oh, wow.
You might have heard of that show.
I have heard of that show. So you're sort of making women, making people look beautiful.
No. I don't do that. I just check them in and check them out.
Oh, I see.
And get them drinks and stuff.
Yeah, okay, that's also good. Well, welcome to the show, Serenity. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Serenity's topic?
A tour de la Tour de France.
The Tour de France, a sport for athletes who don't realize that if you want a yellow jersey, you can just buy one. But this week, we learned something new about that famous and age-old race. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick the one who's telling the truth, and you'll win our prize, the weight waiter of your choice in your voicemail. You ready to play?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's hear first from Adam Burke.
Well, most people may be familiar with the maillot jaune or the yellow jersey, which signifies the winner of each stage of the Tour de France. Fewer may know about the Lanton Rouge, the dubious distinction given to that rider, which managed to bring up the rear of the pack in the famous bike race. While many riders over the years have decided that any distinction is better than none and tried to nab that spot, few have been as dedicated as Yves Perrault, who not only has finished dead last in each stage for a record-breaking four times, but has launched both a society and restaurant dedicated to the art of being the worst in your field. At my Lanton Rouge Bistro in Lyon, Yves explains, you can dine on what is universally regarded as the worst cuisine in the region while listening to truly the most terrible chansons and musicians I could find. Perrault has taken his penchant for failure worldwide, launching the Société Internationale du Lanton Rouge, which invites people from all walks of life around the globe to stake their claim as being the absolute crappiest in their chosen disciplines. We, of course, have a competition for the worst of the worst, Perrault explains, and the most poorly written application also wins a prize.
A four-time winner of the Lanton Rouge for the worst racer is inspired to create an entire culture around being bad at things. Your next bicycle spiel comes from Joelle Nicole Johnson.
If you Google the Tour de France, a few questions pop up. Has there ever been a black rider? Once. Do they pee on themselves while riding? Yeah. Do the riders consume alcohol during the race? Sometimes. The last question sparked the interest of Jolie Laurent. Every year, they would cheer on the riders of the Tour de France at the finish line. The French riders would always celebrate with a glass of red wine, which got Jolie to thinking, why should they have to wait till the end of the party? So Ivre d'Energie, or drunk energy, was born. Ivre d'Energie is a red wine-based energy drink. That's right, they gentrify for a loco. Every French person knows that the only bad thing about red wine is that it makes you sleepy. But not Ivre d'Energie. Two Tour de France teams now swear by the drink. According to one writer, red wine is good enough for a pregnant woman. It's good enough for an athlete biking all over France.
In France, a fabulous, popular new energy drink based on red wine. Your last tale from the tour comes from Peter Gross.
Patrick Dancoise and Joël Gautiard have the most unique jobs at the Tour de France. It's become tradition for Frenchmen who live along the 2,075-mile route to take out time from their busy schedule of surrendering to their mistresses to mark the streets with graffiti. So tour organizers hired Patrick and Joël to cover up said graffiti. What specific type of graffiti is the most common? Well, a French journalist described the scene on the track this way. As the van begins its descent, the penis in all its myriad forms springs up as far as the eye can see. Every July, these two men grab their paintbrushes and go about dismembering the course. Sometimes merely altering the images for expediency. Explaining their process to a local paper, they said, "We are adding feet to hide the genitals, so we have made an owl." No one knows why they went with owls when they had so many other birds at their disposal. Cockatiels? Cockatoos? Besides, everyone knows owls are hooters, which is a totally different type of graffiti.
All right, so here are your choices. From Adam Burke, that one of the preeminent winners of the Lanterne Rouge, meaning the worst racer, has opened both a restaurant and now a contest. From Joel Nicole Johnson, a new energy drink popular with the riders, based, of course, on fine French red wine. Or from Peter Gross, that there are two men whose real job it is to travel the course before the racers get there and remove or alter the rude graffiti. Which of these is the real story from the Tour de France?
I really think it's the third one.
You think it's Peter's story of covering up the graffiti. All right.
Yes.
Well, you've chosen Peter's story. We spoke to a reporter who actually covers the race to bring you the real story.
His job is the effaceur de zizi, which literally translates as the penis eraser.
That was local France editor Emma Pearson talking about the penis repainter of the Tour de France. Congratulations, Serenity. You got it right. You're at a point for Peter Gross. And you've won our prize. The voice of your choice from our show on your voicemail. Congratulations and well done.
Thank you. My 16-year-old son will be really proud of
you. I'm sure he will. Thank you so much for calling and playing, Serenity. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
And here's some important health news, although apparently not so important we couldn't save it till now. Here's an unaired segment from a show this last summer with guest host Tom Papa.
Roy. A new study proves that it is hardwired into human biology to hate what?
Other people. can I have a hint?
I'll give you a hint, of course. It starts with the Sunday scaries.
Days of the week.
I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Mondays. It's Mondays.
Mondays, yeah.
Science has spoken. Hating Mondays is real. Man, imagine being the Debbie Downer who felt like you had to fact-check Garfield. The study from researchers at the University of Hong Kong found that people see a 23% spike in stress hormones and a 19% increase in heart attack risk on Monday mornings. Though if you really cared about your job, you'd be willing to have a heart attack on nights and weekends, too.
Yeah. But you know, I think that's probably more prevalent, too, like in the Midwest, East, when the sun, you know, in the fall and winter times, because you know it's like, oh, it's going to be BS in like 12 hours. You know, like, like, you know, football's over with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mondays is gross.
What about those people that say, when you love your job, it doesn't feel like work at all? What about those people?
No, but you have to wake up. The thing is, I don't want to wake up early to do what I love.
Or when you don't have a job.
Yes.
It's just like any other day.
And you wake up and you're sad because you're like, it's Monday. I have nowhere to go.
A lot of people are thinking about what would happen if public broadcasting went away. Yes, it would be bad for you, the listeners. But what about us? Do you think the people you hear on this station could actually thrive anywhere else? We are delicate orchids. For example, Steve Inske, talented broadcaster, great journalist, who could thrive anywhere or almost anywhere. Hey, 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 welcome back to the Sleaze. If you're looking for your local public radio station, too bad, it's not here anymore. But we kept on your boy Steve to keep that gravitas that you guys love going. Steve, what's up?
Hi there, this is Steve Inske.
Dan the Sleaze, we're talking friends with benefits. Is it ever a good idea? And in Steve's corner, a discussion on education policy in the age of AI. Lame. Steve, friends with Bennies, yay or nay?
That's a nay from me.
You're missing out, Steve. Nothing quite like getting sloppy with a bud.
Okay.
So, Stevie, I hear you got a story about someone getting hot for teacher?
Well, it's teachers getting hot under the collar at the increasing use of AI in the classroom.
You know what AI is great at? Seeing what it would look like if Bart Simpson had boobs.
Fascinating. Send me the link.
And now for traffic, it's Michelle Martin. Girl, what's it looking like up there? Is it lit or what?
It is lit.
Please, don't make us go out into that cold, hard world. Let's keep Steve Inskeep and everybody else safe and warm. Here's how to help.
And the way you can help support your public radio station, Kansas Public Radio, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, is by going to our website, kansaspublicradio.org, and joining Kansas Public Radio as a supporting member. Now is a great time because there's a challenge from Steve and Fran Crouch, who are matching gifts of any size during Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. But we need you to do it right now by going to kansaspublicradio.org or call us at 888-577-5268 and become a member, perhaps a sustaining member of Kansas Public Radio right now.
Sustaining memberships really do help the station and make sure that all the programs that you listen to every single day are on the air for you right now. It's a really easy system that we've got set up for you. You choose the dollar amount. You plug in your credit card number or your bank account number onto our secure website, and every single month, the money comes out of your account. You don't have to think about it. It's a set it and forget it type of thing. And right now, the announcer for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, a KANU alumnus, Bill Curtis, has a new book out, and that's what we're offering as our gift right now, Jason. Any folks that give $20 a month will get a signed copy of Bill's memoir. It's called Whirlwind, My Life Reporting the News. If you want to take advantage of this offer right now, this amazing gift that we're offering here from Kansas Public Radio, you can go online to kansaspublicradio.org, make your pledge today, or you can call us 888-577-5268.
Hey, we're here on a Saturday morning to ask for your support at 888-577-5268. I'm Steve Kincaid, the Director of Engineering here at Kansas Public Radio, and you just heard from Max Paley and Jason Sloat, our also works here. We all work here at Kansas Public Radio, and we're here on a weekend because it's so important that we hear from you right now. Now, we're listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and that's a great entertainment program. You know, it helps kind of break up the week and take our minds off of all the crazy things that may have happened this week. If you enjoy or even depend on that kind of programming, something that is light and can, you know, it's kind of a review of the week, but it's in a funny way. 888-577-5268. That's what we need you to do right now. Show your support for Kansas Public Radio. How about $20 a month? $20 a month, that's $240 a year. And you know what? At that level, you've almost paid for a half hour of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You can do that right now. Can you do $20 a month? Maybe it's $30 a month. We need to hear from you. 888-577-5268. Or go online to our website, simplykansaspublicradio.org.
But not simplykansaspublicradio.org.
No, don't put simply in
there. No, just kansaspublicradio.org. That's the website. Now, you're probably aware of our funding situation right now. All public media in America has lost all federal funding. That's all of it. It has affected us pretty dramatically, and we're hoping that we can get some help from you because you're the person who enjoys Kansas Public Radio. You're the person who depends on Kansas Public Radio. You get Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me every week because you and thousands of other people are willing to step up and help pay for this service. I think it's cost something like $567 a week to bring you Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which, you know, it seems like a lot of money. But maybe you can chip in $20 a month, and that little bit can go toward paying for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which I think is a hilarious show, and I really enjoy it, and I look forward to it every week here on Kansas Public Radio. 94%, this is a new number, 94% of our funding comes from private support. That's folks just like you and underwriters who listen and believe in Kansas Public Radio's programming and our dedication to news and to music and entertainment and all the things you hear throughout the year. Go to our website, kansaspublicradio.org, or call us at 888-577-5268 and show your financial support for Kansas Public Radio.
You're listening right now on a Saturday to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You depend on Kansas Public Radio, and now more than ever, we are depending on you to step up. Show your support right now. It's really, really easy to do, especially with a sustaining membership. And remember, if you're donating $20 a month or more, you can get the new memoir from Bill Curtis, signed by the author. You can make your gift right now by calling 888-577-5268, or it's even easier to do online. Just navigate to kansaspublicradio.org, and thanks.
From NPR at WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and here again is your host at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. You're making me think we should give up the comedy thing and just ask for money. You seem to love it. Anyway, we are trying our best to raise money for the station this week for two reasons. First, they really need it. And second, we're insecure and we need validation.
That's not George Washington on every dollar bill. That's a father finally expressing his approval.
So in order to earn that fleeting warm feeling from you, we're replaying some of the best material that we've done. Now, our next segment is one we taped back in 2019, when our guest was mainly known for being an acclaimed celebrity chef in the Washington, D.C. region.
Since then, he's become famous as a world-traveling philanthropist, appearing in war zones and disaster areas to feed the hungry. Here's our conversation with Chef Jose Andres, along with panelists Faith Saley, Nagin Farsad, and Peter Gross.
And now the game where somebody who's done great and good things is asked to do a small and dumb thing. It's called Not My Job. Chef Jose Andres is famous for his many restaurants here in Washington and now all around the country, but also for his founding of the World Central Kitchen, a nonprofit devoted to feeding survivors of natural disasters. He may be the only person to win both Chef of the Year and Humanitarian of the Year award from the Beard Foundation. Chef Jose Andres, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think they can hear you.
Can you understand me? My wife and I, which, by the way, she listens to you guys all the time.
Wow.
She's my translator because I can never understand anything you say. She tells me, can you wait until the show is over so I tell you all the words you don't understand? It's so unfair.
So you are one of the world's most celebrated chefs, so we just have to ask you, what do you think of the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
I read it online, and then by the time it was my turn, the Popeye was gone. But it's so many amazing chicken sandwiches in America.
Yeah.
That...
Do you
are on a line waiting for an hour, and next door is another place that has a sandwich as good or better, but everybody has to be in the line. It's like going to Disney. You go, and you are in the line. Like, well, sometimes the line is not the way forward, people. Find your own line! Find your own line! That's the answer you wanted to get?
That's a very... I don't know what I wanted. That's a great answer. I know that a lot of chefs, famous chefs, award-winning chefs, often have, like, a favorite junk food or, like, something, because they're just so tired of, like, fancy food when they want to eat. Do you have one of those, like, favorite guilty habits?
Yeah. I love cans. Canned food.
Cans of food.
C-A-N?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it. Like, but do you care what's in the can? Or is it just the container?
Yeah. I love, you know, the Finding Nemo, the little eggs, the black eggs. They call it caviar, the fancy people.
Yeah.
That's good canned food.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have caviar in a can, you can eat spam, and it's good too. But, you know, if you can choose, I love caviar. But
I love the fact that a day of cooking brilliant food for expensive patrons, you know, in fabulous restaurants, you relax just with a simple dish of caviar.
I like food in a can. Let me put it this way. Imagine, you're hungry. You have nobody around you. You have a can. You open the can. You are eating. Amazing. Canned food should deserve an opportunity in our lives, people of America.
Do you eat SpaghettiOs? You know the little, like, pasta with the sauce in the...
No.
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 Because that's the caviar of pasta, so you know.
He has some standards, Peter.
Sardines.
Sardines?
Oh, yeah, you like that. Kind
of. Mussels.
Yeah.
Oysters.
So you just want fish in a can. Oysters come in cans?
Oh, yeah.
But the fish feels so protected in a can.
Oh, yeah, the fish is lying. They're going, nothing's going to happen to us in here.
Take a look what happened to Nemo in the anemone. I mean, in the can, nothing happens until you open it.
Yeah.
And especially when you knock, can I open you? And the fish tells you, yes, Jose, you can. And then...
Yes, you can.
And then, wait a minute. I just figured out your reference to Finding Nemo. Did you mean the eggs that Nemo's mom lays in the very beginning of the film, that big pile of eggs, that are then all eaten except for Nemo, which is the starting tragedy of the whole story. Yeah. So you are, in this metaphor, the barracuda.
No, I am more protective than the barracuda. I mean... I don't want to eat them the first moment I see them.
No.
I put them in the refrigerator. I make sure the temperature is right. Only when I feel it's the right moment, I really eat them.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you're not savage.
It's very different than a barracuda. I mean, I'm more like a seal. I mean, I'm so happy when I eat it, I start clapping. Think about it. We are all like seals in the zoo. We are giving the sardine... That's me.
I want to ask you one more question before the game. So you're a great chef. You're a master of several different cuisines. Is there one thing that you're terrible at making? Like your kids, like for example, like your kids would never eat your mac and cheese.
Is this going to make it into the show? Or
I don't know. It depends how honest you are.
It's so hard for a chef to recognize
your weakness.
Let me tell you one thing. Can I tell you one thing?
You may tell me anything you want.
If whatever I did was wrong, was not my fault.
There you go. You are a chef.
But I can tell you one thing.
What?
Some of my most popular dishes,
yes,
they're never mine. The number one dish everybody in America has repeated the most, gazpacho.
Yeah.
You know the recipe? Who is from?
Yeah, who?
My wife.
Really?
And I love it, and I love her. Her gazpacho is unbelievable. For the English-speaking people, unbelievable is beyond unbelievable.
So we have started to think about what the world would be like without public broadcasting, but there's a scenario which is almost worse than our disappearing, and that is, without your support, we might have to go commercial with NPR's own Love Island.
On a remote island in sexy Cape Cod, it's the premier season of NPR Island. Hi there, I'm your host, Scott Simon. This is reality TV like you've never seen it. 24 singles look for love using the most important factors, intelligence and respect.
Hi, I'm Kathy. I run my own craft store, and I'm 45 years young.
Hey, Dan here. I'm a proud UNC grad, and I love football, or as you call it here, soccer.
Howdy, my name is Jackie. I have 3 kids, and my divorce was amicable. Let's fall in love.
Wow, what a wonderful group of like-minded adults. But don't worry, there's going to be twists, like when the bombshells arrive at the island.
Hello, my name is David. I'm a doctor of medicine, but also of history.
I'm Monica. My ideal date is a lecture series on Thoreau, gardening with native plants, and doing a Nordic sauna circuit. Plus, I got a real pair of knockers.
Tune in to NPR Island, premiering right after the Gilded Age.
So let's make sure that the commercial networks stay in their lane and we stay in ours. Here is how to help.
It's easy to help when you log on to kansaspublicradio.org, or you can call 888-577-5268. My name is Max Bailey. I'm here joined by two members of our engineering team. I've got Jason Slow and Steve Kincaid here with me this morning.
Hello.
At Kansas Public Radio. Thank you so much for joining us for this wonderful episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We're hearing from Bill Curtis, a KANU alumnus. And
he probably sat at this very desk that I'm sitting at right now.
Unbelievable.
Because this desk has been here since the very beginning of time.
I can still hear his voice.
And we want that desk to stay here. We want to stay here on the air for you every single day on 91.5 in Lawrence and many other frequencies across the state. But we're only able to do that with help from listeners just like you. You can call 888-577-5268 if this is a service that you depend on. You can also go online to kansaspublicradio.org.
And you know, 94% of our funding now comes from private support. That means you, listeners just like you, and we don't waste our money on fancy new desks. We have this desk here from the very beginning of time, and we're still using it right now because our money is put towards the programming that you want to hear. And 888-577-5268 or kansaspublicradio.org is the place where you can make a difference right now. There's a lot going on in the world out there today that we don't have any control over. You hear things that you can't believe you're hearing. But the one thing you can do, one thing that you do have control over, is the future of your public radio station. That's Kansas Public Radio. Whether you're listening in Manhattan or Chanute or Emporia or here in the Lawrence and Kansas City area, Topeka, 888-577-5268. Show your support for Kansas Public Radio right now by picking up the phone or going online at kansaspublicradio.org. Do the one thing that you can do. Secure the future of your public radio station.
That's right. And, you know, now is an especially good time to do that, not only because we really have a powerful need for help, financial help, but also your money can go a little bit further. Steve and Fran Crouch are matching all gifts of any size during Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So your $100 pledge becomes $200. Your $240 pledge becomes $480. I could keep going, but my math skills are diminishing as I go higher and higher. But you get the point. Your contribution gets matched, gets doubled, and that money goes towards the programming that you count on hearing week after week, day after day, from Kansas Public Radio, like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is a really funny show. And it's a wonderful thing to have sharp commentary, satire, that's very important right now. We need that because I think if we didn't have comedy, I think we would be, we might have more tragedy. So I'm really glad to have Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on the air. And I really enjoy the guests and I really enjoy the contests and just everything about it's great. And the only reason you get to hear it, that it exists on the air right now, is because folks like you have been very generous and have supported us in the past. We're hoping you'll join those folks right now by going to our website, kansaspublicradio.org, or calling 888-577-5268. Become a member or a sustaining member of Kansas Public Radio right now.
That's right. Jason Sloat likes Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Steve Kincaid likes Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And you like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This is the perfect opportunity to let us know just how much you enjoy the programming you're listening to right now. Take advantage of this challenge from Steve and Fran Crouch. They're going to match your gift dollar for dollar. And if you give $20 a month or more, you're going to get a signed hardcover copy of Whirlwind, a memoir from KANU alumnus Bill Curtis. You can make your gift easily online by going to kansaspublicradio.org, or you can always pick up the phone the old-fashioned way, dial 888-577-5268.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and here again is your host at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. We've been spending the past hour or so trying to convince you to do some spending, that is, on this station. And to inspire you, we've been playing some of the hits. For example, Here's what happened when two legendary newsmen met on the same stage in San Antonio, Texas in 2019. Bill Curtis and our special guest, Dan Rather. And now the game where people live a rich, full life and yet somehow end up with us. If all the major events of the late 20th century had a single thing in common, it might be this. They were reported on by Dan Rather. He was at Dealey Plaza when Kennedy was shot. He reported from Vietnam. He challenged Nixon on Watergate. He covered the Cold War and was there to cover its end. He is a proud Texas native and still a resident. We are honored to have him with us. Dan Rather, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, you still have a home here in Texas. You grew up here in Texas. You're a Texan.
I was born in Wharton, Texas. I grew up in Houston, and I'm not just from Texas. I am of Texas.
You are Texan. You started, and it turns out that many reporters, I know including Bill, started this way. You were a local guy. You were doing minor league baseball games at one point?
I did. I've always been interested in news, but once to supplement my income, particularly at the lower levels, you know, broadcasting doesn't pay all that well. So I did play-by-play as a way of supplementing my income. I did play-by-play football, baseball, basketball, track. Track is really difficult to do play-by-play as a stop.
All right. Wait a minute. How would you do that? Well, he's running. He seems to be running more.
Or he's vaulting, or he has this shot put in his hand, and he takes five steps, and he throws.
Do you think there's one moment that in which you sort of got your start that started the career that we've all sort of been watching low these many decades?
Well, I do. That there was a great hurricane in 1961, Hurricane Carla, which was at that time, and I think still, the largest in terms of sheer size hurricane on record in the Gulf of Mexico. And I had just started in television. I had made my move from radio into television. I was still new to television. And we wound up in the right place at the right time on Galveston Island as the hurricane came in. And that was picked up by other stations. Nobody else was there broadcasting. So if I had to point to one moment that sort of, quote, made my career, that was probably it.
Yeah. It's funny because Bill got his sort of start with a great tornado in Kansas.
Tornado, so same thing.
It turns out maybe these weather events are being caused by ambitious young reporters. You were known for many things, but certainly for being fearless, not only the places you went, like war zones, but also the way you treated people in power. There was a famous incident where you got up and you asked President Nixon a question. It was during Watergate, and he didn't like it. And I believe he said, "Are you running for something?" And your famous response was,
"No, sir, Mr. President, are you?"
That's pretty good. You, of course, took over as the anchor of the CBS Evening News, taking the baton from Walter Cronkite, another legend who, I guess, took it from Edward R. Murrow. So you were part of that line. And one of the things that people were noticing as you settled into that role was you were looking for your sign-off. Because famously, of course, Cronkite would end his broadcast, "Well, that's the way it is on this day." And what was your thinking? You said, "I needed something different. You needed something for yourself."
Well, it was suggested to me that you need a sign-off.
Yeah.
But, you know, following a legend like that is not the easiest thing in the world. At any rate, my first suggestion was maybe I could say, "Well, that's some of the way it is."
Yeah, okay. That's not bad.
Nobody took to that idea. We tried two or three things, but at any rate,
that's the way it might be.
Doesn't have quite the same
No, way. Not at all.
But at any rate, I was thinking, you know, my late father's favorite word was courage for a lot of reasons, so I thought, well, maybe we could just pause and say, you know, and that's the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather, reporting courage. And the more I thought about it, the more I kind of liked it because it had a nostalgic ring for me. I will say that the executives in the company were horrified by this whole thing.
Really?
So it lasted about a week. And at the end of that week, it was pretty much, you either stop using this as a sign-off or we stop using you.
Whoa.
So it was an easy decision.
I understand. What did you change to?
I just decided not to have one.
Yeah.
Just went with the plain good night.
I give it my best shot. Didn't work.
There you go. I know.
Hey, we could talk to you about your career all night, but out of all the people you've interviewed, and you interviewed just about every major historical player in the last 50 years, was there a particular favorite, somebody who you were glad to talk to?
Well, I'm glad you put the preface, because let's face it, I've been lucky and mightily blessed. I could give you the names of maybe seven people, but if I had to pick one, it would be, I was assigned, my first major assignment for CBS News was to cover Dr. Martin Luther King and what was then the emerging civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And covering Dr. King changed me as a professional, and it changed me as a person. And for that reason, I would say, if I had to pick one, I would say interviewing Dr. Martin Luther King and covering him day to day for almost 2 years.
Wow, sure. I imagine that's, I'm envious that you had the chance. Do you ever, when you're watching whomever, do you ever, like, miss it? Do you ever, like, if I was there, I would have the questions?
Like every second.
Yeah, I know. I can imagine.
And here's yet another gem we kept in reserve for when we needed it. A moment from a show earlier this year with guest host Tom Papa and panelists Brian Babylon, Naguib Farsad, and Roy Blunt, Jr.
Roy, this week a reporter at the Wall Street Journal attempted to answer the question of whether it's ever okay to do what when ordering wine at a restaurant.
Go. You mean after you get it? After it comes?
While you're ordering it.
While you're ordering it.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, after you get it, you should never go.
Yeah.
That's how I was brought up. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. It's so rare you order something with the phrase, final offer.
Oh, try to bargain. Hope for how much it costs.
Yes, haggle over the price.
Haggle.
The wine critic decided to see if it was possible to haggle over the prices on the wine list, presumably asking them to go down from super overpriced to just overpriced.
Mm.
And the answer, surprisingly, is she did not have a great experience. Everybody knows the way to save money on wine is tasting that little sip they give you at first, and then asking to try another bottle, and then repeat, repeat, repeat.
As a Middle Eastern person, I feel, like, insulted right now. Haggling is a part of our culture.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
In a restaurant, would you do that? Like, in the... Here's a bottle of wine for $100.
I'll be like, I'll give you $70.
You're in a restaurant.
Yeah, this is not at a bazaar. You know, we're not doing like a bag of figs.
I'm just saying, like, I think we're a little too uptight, you know?
Uh-huh.
And we can loosen the reins a little bit, like have a little bit more haggling fun in other parts of the marketplace.
Right.
I think it's worth a shot.
Like, how much are we getting paid tonight?
Yeah. There we go.
Good question.
Haggle it out.
So we've been fortunate enough to do this show for coming up on 28 years. I know. And the top three reasons that's been possible is, first, you. And second, the person who donated before you. And finally, the person who was going to donate after you. Your support really does make everything we do possible. But things are different now. The federal government not only ended future federal funding for public broadcasting, it took back money it had already promised. For over five decades, federal funding has been critical to the survival of many public radio stations across the country. In fact, that funding helped create the national system of public radio. And nobody knows for sure exactly what's going to happen to that system now that it's gone. So that's why it's really important you donate today. If you've given before, we are all grateful, and I hope you are happy with what your support has paid for. And if you haven't donated, well, what are you waiting for? This station and everything it broadcasts is for you, and it is stronger with you thanks to the generosity of its supporters. So please, whoever you are, however much you have to give, it all means everything to us. Thank you so much for your past support. And here is how to help today.
The way to help Kansas Public Radio and Peter Sagal's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Right Now is to make a pledge. during our fall membership drive. A pledge in whatever amount you can afford at kansaspublicradio.org or by calling 888-577-5268. Support one of the most unique radio programs to be found, a rascally send-up of the news, a way that we can listen to the news and all come away smiling. Kind of a rare thing today. It's a program that needs your support now more than ever. So pledge today at kansaspublicradio.org or, of course, 888-577-5268. And it's an especially auspicious time to do that because we have a challenge on our board from Steve and Fran Crouch, who are matching gifts of any size during Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Today, up to $1,000. You can take their money right now by pledging. Remember, it's at kansaspublicradio.org or 888-577-5268, of course. And just in case I haven't already said, I'm your host for Afternoon Classical Music, Jeff Watson, here with the host of KPR Presents, Kay McIntyre. Thanks for being in today.
Thank you, Jeff. And yeah, it's nice to see you here on a Saturday morning, not normally here.
Here at Kansas Public Radio, and we need your help right now. Be the next one to support us at whatever amount you can at kansaspublicradio.org.
And if you were lucky enough to be in our audience last week when Bill Curtis came, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me's scorekeeper was here in town and appeared for a KPR event, you know how much fun they have with the show.
Yeah.
We had a unscripted moment with Bill Curtis where he was talking about the show. Lots of fun going on behind the scenes. Lots of fun happening right there in front of the microphone that we hear every week. And because you enjoy it, because that's important to you, support it now at kansaspublicradio.org.
And Kansas Public Radio is KANU in KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV in KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute, and of course online at kansaspublicradio.org. That is the place where you can make your pledge this afternoon. Sustain public radio. Ensure the future of great broadcasting. Make your voice heard. It doesn't take a lot. It's very affordable because we only ever ask what you can afford. And have your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now by Steve and Fran Crouch. Thank you very much to them. And thank you for your support of Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you for your support of Kansas Public Radio. This morning, we're coming up on the Moth Radio Hour next on KPR. Quick look at the weather before we do so. Mostly sunny skies today, although we've got some clouds down in the Emporia and Chanute area. For the rest of us, mostly sunny. Highs today in the upper 80s, light winds from the southwest. Sunny for tomorrow, highs in the mid 80s. It's 75 degrees in Atchison, 73 in Emporia, 74 in Lawrence, 75 in Manhattan, and 75 in Topeka. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Romm.